Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Quit it now!
Good afternoon. Welcome. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye, Phil Lindsay in the house, KJ. Kind of a skeleton crew around here today, though. I imagine it is wherever you are, if you are there. And if you're not, I'm enjoying shouting into the void. So we're glad to have you here. And you know what? Just remind us that you're here. So on the RamosLaw.com text
line.
Tell us
hi.
303-713-1043. We know you're there. We know you're out. But please don't take your eyes off the road to do it. Okay? A little sloppy, but the roads are fine right now,
yeah,
it looks like.
Yeah, slushy. A little slushy, but I'll take this over any kind of ice. So hopefully tonight it doesn't freeze over, which it probably will because it's cold. But that's what I worry about is the ice, man.
I want to talk about the Broncos situation right now. And we just spoke about it before the end of the last break. We talked about, well, normally people will get on me, Phil, right? Because I hold the Avs and the Nuggets to a different standard than I hold the Broncos to. I'm realistic. I'm not going to ignore the fact that there has been a lot of dysfunction over the last 8 years of that franchise, and they've got to dig themselves out of a hole.
Yeah.
It would be unfair, number one, and unrealistic, number two, to hold them to any type of championship standard right now.
I agree with what you're saying, but also that's where it has to start. You know, they have to believe now, yeah, they're not going to get to a Super Bowl. That's not, I'm not going to say it's not possible, but it's probably not going to happen, but you have to start building them bricks, letting them know, like, this is our goal, Super Bowl, right? This is what we need to do. Get to the playoffs. We need to build that foundation. And so you have to still hold these young men to a high standard. Even if you don't get the most out of them at this point, it's going to be from year one, year two, year three. What are you getting at them in year three? And it starts with year one and holding them to that standard.
And you and I kind of had this conversation behind the scenes during a break yesterday about playoffs versus Super Bowl. I said, we were kind of talking about Russ and kind of having a conversation. I don't exactly remember all the details of what we said, but I remember it kind of ended up at, you were saying we need to make the playoffs again. And I was saying, is that what you want? Like, just to make the playoffs with what, Russ? And maybe go to the second round if you get lucky? Or isn't the standard in Broncos country, no, building blocks for winning Super Bowls, winning championships around here?
But how do you do that?
I think the Broncos made a really important step in beginning that process fully by releasing Justin Simmons. And by doing that, I think so, because Justin probably, by and large, what do you think, the biggest leader in that locker room?
Yeah, the biggest leader that the Denver Broncos had at this time, the face of the franchise, which is crazy to say, was Justin, I would say.
And it's not that he's a bad guy, and it's not that there was a tumultuous relationship with the franchise, but I think we've seen from around the league, I look at the Chargers right now, I don't know if you saw what the Chargers did today, but they renegotiated with Joey Bosa,
they did.
They're going to keep Joey Bosa.
They did. They're going to keep Khalil. They're going to keep Joey. They cut Mike Williams, but I heard that Mike may want to come back after testing the market just under a smaller contract.
Maybe. I think the Chiefs will be in on Mike Williams. But they also brought back Keenan. They also kept Keenan Allen. So we had heard reports that the Chargers were in cap hell and they were going to have to move on from Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. They were taking offers. Well, that didn't happen. It didn't make sense for that to happen because they still have legitimate talent on that team and they're in a trying to win now window, right? Well, if you want to keep a player, you could keep a player. If the Broncos wanted to keep Justin Simmons around, they could have. I think there were external factors like the safety market. It's gotten to the point where NFL owners have kind of collectively said, all right, we're good with paying safeties more than like $13 to $12 million a year.
Yeah,
we don't need to be
doing that. They didn't want the market to continue to sky up. I have to agree with you on that. There's always that time, even with the running backs, where all of a sudden you see a bunch of running backs in the market right now, and that's because, like you said, owners talk. They don't want to keep paying that bill.
But it's also supply and demand of every different year. Different positions have a bigger significance one year. Maybe it's a stronger draft class at this position, which running back, I think, happened to be the case. Last year, I think, was a pretty strong running back draft class, so teams didn't really want to pay top-of-the-market money to some of these veteran guys. Well, this year, not a very strong running back draft class, so teams are paying those free agents the contracts that they were all kind of pounding the table for last season, more or less, maybe not to the extent.
And the cap went up.
But you're also seeing it with backup quarterback. The back end of this quarterback class for this draft is not good. Like, there's not a bunch of fifth or sixth or seventh round quarterbacks. You're really not going to see that this year. Sometimes you see that where teams will take flyers. Now, there will be some, but it's not extensive, and teams aren't very high on the back end of this quarterback draft class. So what do you see to open free agency? You see a run on mid-level, you know, backup, you know, maybe bridge guys. Because almost everybody went off the board, and free agency really, just for all intents and purposes, opened yesterday.
Which is crazy. All the running backs are pretty much off the board. All the quarterbacks are off the board. Even Joe Flacco got himself a job yet again. Old Cup of Joe. So, yeah.
You and your hate on Old Cup of Joe. You said the NFL needs to retire. I told you a couple of days ago that he had one of the best months for any quarterback in NFL history in December.
All right. Well, okay. So you're happy going with Joe.
7.
And what's funny is Joe was just on with Pat McAfee, I think, today, and he was kind of confused why he wasn't picked up faster. And I'm like, Joe, you're like 45 years old, baby. You've done it. You've been there, done it.
Well, that's a really good transition into what we need to get to. Why wasn't Joe Flacco picked up faster? Why did the Broncos not want to go out and get one of those guys? Because there's no future there with one of those guys. They already have one of those guys in the building with Jarrett Stidham. Whether he may not be the top end of the mid-tier backup market, I think is kind of irrelevant now. He was last year, certainly, when he signed the contract. We go, wow. I mean, that was impressive backup money.
$10 million?
But what was the difference between last year's Broncos team and this year's Broncos team?
Well, one, they had Russell sitting right there, but also they had Justin Simmons. They had a lot of I would say, I'm not gonna say talent, but it was good enough to win a lot of games.
They're trying to win. They were trying to win. They're not really trying to win exclusively this year. They're trying to get out from under this dead cap hit and start to rebuild. And so, Phil, the situation changed, so things changed. So whereas Jarrett Stidham last year became a very expensive backup, well, this year he's about a mid-level bridge option. Now, I think the plan was they would have liked the market not to have been as high as it was, so they could have had somebody probably come in and compete. As you mentioned yesterday, push Jarrett Stidham.
Somebody has to push Jarrett, man.
But sometimes the universe has a funny way of working itself out, because the universe spun around and said, you know, you're not going to be in the market for Sam Darnold and for Marcus Mariota, and you're not paying $8 million a year for Jacoby Brissett. You're already paying six to Stidham this year. You're already doing that. Well, it's kind of forcing them to go into that younger position, which makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, it definitely makes sense at this point, Matt. You have no old, you know, you want to get rid of everybody that's older and bring on the young talent in, the undrafted players, the players that are willing to take less money and just have them just work hard and try to find ways to win. That's why, to me, also is a head scratcher of why we're keeping someone like Cortland Sutton. Like, why would we keep him when he's another one that kind of like is getting older, all right, wants to win. So you do right by him, and also you do right by yourself by letting someone like him go, correct?
It depends. If you think that he's going to be an issue in the locker room, then yes. But you're also probably going to be looking at a first-round rookie quarterback. Right now, my hot take would be, sitting here on March 14th, that Bo Nix goes to the Broncos at 12.
Oh, man, I'm shaking on that one.
That'd be my hot take.
Oh, Nix!
That would be my hot take right now. I don't know if it happens. That would be my hot take. Maybe they move down and draft somebody later. Who knows what happens? Either way, it sounded like from Kliss, who just talked to Dover and Stoke a little bit earlier, but I don't even need to hear what Mike says, because look at the options on the board. Are you really thinking that Jimmy G is that much better than Jarrett Stidham to the point where now I need two $6 million guys? What are they going to push each other off the cliff, off the roster? I'm just saying, you're not pushing anybody anywhere between those two.
Well, this is what it comes down to now then. If you have this, you know, rookie that's coming in, Bo Nix, I think maybe Michael Penix Jr., if you can get him, who would you rather have mentoring him? Jarrett Stidham, who's kind of in that's
a good question. That's fair.
Age, right, where it's like he's competing. He's not going to sit here and help that young man out. Or someone like Jimmy Garoppolo, who I don't think cares as much, right? And he's willing. He's been benched multiple times. He's been benched. He's seen how it is. And he can come in, help a young quarterback out and learn. And you let someone like Jimmy know, hey, you're here until this young man can get on his feet. But we're bringing you in because we feel like you can help him grow.
But here's the problem. Are you going to keep three active quarterbacks?
Well, that's why I see. What is Jarrett Stidham getting guaranteed this year? Is it six?
I'm just talking about roster spots. So let's just say you're going to draft
three because remember they have that new rule.
Yeah, but that guy can only play. There's like stipulations. It's not. It's only like a break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah.
To have him there, it's not really like.
Well,
that.
See, this is the thing. You're bringing in somebody to battle Jarrett Stidham. Because I truly believe that Jarrett Stidham needs to be pushed, and if he is not the man, then push him out.
Hey, you know what?
Put it all over the clip.
Let me just say this. You want to keep three quarterbacks this year and be shorted another position? Honest to goodness, you're rebuilding, and that's a really important spot. So I think I'd be just fine with it, if I'm being serious. Like, what's... Yeah, okay, you need to fill out a roster, but if you need a...
But just push until preseason, though, at least preseason.
Well, yeah, they already have DiNucci in the house, too.
Well, they can get rid of DiNucci. DiNucci has no money tied.
No. I get it. My point is this, is that typically when a season you're trying to win, no, you're not keeping three quarterbacks, but you can tell by their actions and what they do this year, what their plans really are. So again, you're very limited. Now that Sam Howell is off the board and he's off the board to Seattle, that was per Adam Schefter last hour. I don't know if anybody really, really piques my interest enough to say, yeah, okay, I'd like to see the Broncos take a flyer.
Zach Wilson?
No.
No.
Hide your mom. No, I don't.
Not for like a seventh. Someone like Zach Wilson to be on the roster.
What's the point of that?
He's young. He still has some talent. Maybe he just needs some work. I don't know. You know, somebody's gonna take a flyer on the man.
I don't really see a point of it. But Kliss did mention with Dover and Stoke as well that the Broncos will bring somebody else in. So maybe they see the point of it. And I don't right now, which, look, I mean, that's why I'm not in the front office in the NFL. I'm just a guy trying to put the pieces together here behind the scenes. So here's what I'll say. We talked about how do you build and having a clean slate. Well, now the Broncos have the opportunity to do it the right way. And we talked about fans having confidence yesterday in Sean Payton. Mm. We saw a bunch of on the text line, eights and nines. Yeah. I think that's wonderful because you should be excited. Now you have a chance to do it right. And okay, maybe it's going to, again, we talked about the Shawshank. Sometimes it's not always going to be pretty and you might stink. But on the other side, hopefully there's sunshine and salvation because you did it the right way. So what do I expect? To get back to your original question, a long way of saying, I expect them to work to find younger developmental pieces or at least draft picks they targeted to be foundational members of their team.
Yeah.
Let's look at the Nuggets and the Avalanche. Different sports, much different roster size, I understand. I think I'm talking about team dynamic here. Those teams are built with tertiary stars, right? Like third guys, fourth guys, you know, Devon Taves, your Nichushkins, you know what I mean? Yeah. Even Mikko Rantanen to an extent. The Broncos don't have their versions of those guys, really. They have guys they would like to. I would say the only rock star that they have on that roster, outside of maybe Patrick Sertan, maybe Quinn Meinerz, who's going to get paid next year.
Quinn Meinerz. And then you got like people like P.J. Lock that look like, you know.
I said rock star. Yeah. I'm not talking about, he's not, P.J. Lock ain't no Mikko Rantanen or a Nichushkin. Well, I'm talking about, but you got to start somewhere.
You do. You do have to have a starting point.
And that's kind of the cool thing when you watch the Avs and the Nuggets every night is we here in Denver, we got to watch them as young teams.
Yeah, rebuild.
Go through the fire. And take some lumps along the way, add some pieces here or there. Maybe Gary Harris, you thought was going to be a part of your future. Well, now look, you have an opportunity to bring in Aaron Gordon. Things happen to work.
Well, tell me this, right? In the Avs, as they rebuild it, right? When they started and they had the young pups, there was still, even though they probably took some butt whoopings, at the end of that year, you were encouraged, correct? You were like, okay, we're going somewhere. It looks like we are going somewhere.
Not necessarily team-wise, especially with the Avs because they had the 48-point season that very first year. But it was weird because Patrick Waugh left late. Bednar got hired at the last second and, you know, moved up. But you had Nathan McKinnon. You had some young pieces that you were excited about.
Young, talented players, yeah.
Right. What did the Broncos not have?
Well, that's it right now. The young, talented players at certain positions. Because I think at the edge you have Bonito. Is that, you know, he's a young one that you have to watch out for. Coop. Cooper's another one you got to watch out. Brandon Browning. So they have pieces that are there. But we're talking about on the offensive side, I don't see it, man. And they starts with the quarterback position. And that's where we have, that's why I don't see us moving down. We have to find that franchise quarterback.
Okay, so I think Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper and Baron Browning are interesting pieces that could be
young
good
pieces.
Members of a supporting cast. But none of those guys are franchise tent poles. They're just not filled.
Well, you're not, that's the thing though, Matt. Like, on every single team, you're not going to have a lot of franchise kind of players. You got to build up from the ground up.
But guess where the Broncos are right now? They're on the ground.
They are on the ground.
And it's time to start building. So you asked me what my expectations are.
Yeah.
I'll hold them to the championship standard in that you're going to start to put the pieces in place to work towards legitimately being that kind of franchise moving forward that does draft and develop their younger guys that end up being their foundational pieces because, okay, yeah, you got your Nichushkins and your Taves and you've got, a Sean Walker or a Josh Manson, Sam Girard. But where do you think Nate was drafted? First overall. Where do you think Miko was drafted? Where do you think Kale was drafted? Bo before that. Then they traded him. You've got to start somewhere. And hopefully they can identify a quarterback and he can be that guy.
Feels like taking anybody
at this stage at 12 is the plan right now. Even though Sean says it's not, unless they move up, Phil, or they move down to get some sort of prospect, which again, I think everything's on the table, but now's the opportunity that you really can look towards the future and you can look towards how you want to set this up and what the culture is because it's Greg Penner's third year.
Yeah.
Heading into Greg Penner's third year next year. He's going to start to really identify what he wants this franchise to look like. What identity do I want for my team?
When
we think of the Denver Broncos.
Because I don't know if Penner's so hands-on in that situation because he's so new to this that he's listened to what Sean's ideas are, not what Greg Penner wants because Greg Penner doesn't know what he wants.
I think it's a collaborative effort.
I think that he's listening to Sean.
Who's his boss?
Who's boss?
Sean.
Greg Penner?
Yeah.
But does Greg Penner know more than Sean?
No, not football-wise.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about how you want to build your team as far as on the football field. I'm talking about the culture of your organization overall.
Well, that's what he's doing, though. Greg's doing a great job.
That's what I'm talking about.
But also, we're still talking about football here.
Sure.
That's what this main thing's about. Greg Penner has done his job, but we're sitting here trying to figure out what Sean is going to do for Greg Penner because Greg Penner doesn't know this football stuff like Sean.
You just start to build because that's where they're at now. And let's lean into the construction analogy. I do construction on, that's my other job, right? I work in properties. I do a bunch of stuff, kind of a contractor-esque type of a person. Mm. If I walk into a job maybe I got a couple of things that I want to save, right? Like, hey, maybe those doors are good. I can reuse those doors, right? Like maybe, that's probably it. If I'm walking into a place where I want to rip it out, hey, maybe they just replaced the faucet, right? So I can keep that and maybe put it in if it matches the new sink or what have you. But look at the sink. It's, we need to swap this thing out here. It's getting a little tired, a little old, right? A little stale, the whole look. And eventually, Phil, you start to realize, all right, well, if I'm going to do it right, let me just take it all, or maybe I can reuse the doors. I've got an offensive line that I've built and just spent a lot of money on. I can structure what I'm going to start building around that and then start to piece moving forward. But it's an opportunity for them, like I said, really, it's kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch in a way. And it's not like they've completely gutted the roster to where they can just do whatever they want. But you can begin to shape it slowly but surely how in the vision that you have.
Right.
You can.
It might take some
time because of Russ right out of the chute here.
Yeah.
But eventually you'll get there. Hopefully.
Well,
that's the hope.
That is the hope. That is the hope. And it's going to all come down to what Sean envisions. Because I truly believe Greg Penner is letting Sean run this whole show and believing in what Sean's doing. Sean didn't want to gut this place out, but he knew he had to because of what George did with the financial, with the money, with the problems. So Sean had to gut it all out. He didn't like what he had in Russ, and now he's trying to figure out who that is in the draft for that young quarterback. And Greg Penner, to me, is doing the outside work that you need to do, the foundation, which is put the money in there, put the structure in. I'm giving you the money to get those doors. I'm giving you the money to do what you have to do, but I'm trusting what you're doing, and we're going off of your lead.
It's exciting to me because they haven't had an opportunity to do that in a long time. It's been a really long time for this franchise. And yes, it may be painful, and it definitely probably will be. There are going to be some long Sundays ahead. But it's all in the hope that finally, they're trying it the right way.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to say goodbye to players who have really had success with your franchise. Broncos won the Super Bowl in 2015. It's hard to think about even trading away a Von Miller or what have you.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily saying that they should have right then and there. Maybe you try it and run it back another year. But after that, that was when it was time. And I think people in hindsight could look back and say, oh, yeah, we should have done it then. We really, it would have been painful to say goodbye to maybe some pieces that we didn't want to have to. But they tried to Band-Aid gang it together. It just doesn't really work in professional sports. Most of those teams don't work. You've got to have some sort of foundational core.
You do. And it's easy if you have a quarterback, right? Which we haven't had in 7 years.
Especially a good one.
A good one.
We've had some not too
good. Yeah, we have some quarterbacks, but not a good quarterback. And if you have a good quarterback, then you can always build around him, which then is easier to do that. But we don't even have a quarterback. So we don't even know who to build around, Matt. Who do we build around?
But it's one of those decisions for an organization. Like, I look at a bunch of teams that are going through it right now all across sports. Look at Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby, the time for Pittsburgh to win anything with the Penguins, it is long since come and gone.
It's up.
But there's loyalty to the franchise because if you won cups there, you've been there for a long time. But in reality, the best thing for Crosby and the organization would be to move him while he still has real value with the best chance of improving your roster. Look at Golden State and Steph Curry. Golden State's going nowhere fast. I know they're playing a little, they're going,
yeah.
I mean, that their time has come and gone. The best decision, probably long-term for their franchise, would eventually be to part ways with Steph.
Would you do that, though?
It's going to be hard. That's what I'm saying. These are hard decisions.
And it is, but the thing also is when you do have a Steph Curry, somebody that has won, okay, this is the difference between Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons still didn't win anything.
Exactly.
Right?
So it should have been easier.
It should have been like, you know, we haven't won with you. We're going to do you right by letting you go somewhere where you can win and you've done great for us. But someone like Steph Curry, he knows how to win. He knows how to get to the promised land. So you want to keep him around so you can build these young puppies up with him. And then maybe later on, yeah, you could get rid of him or he decides to just leave on his own or retire. But you want to keep somebody here. Here in Denver, we don't have any of that. We don't have one person that we can sit here and lean on and say, we're going to keep you here because we want you to build, we're going to build around you. You're going to help us and you're going to teach us and then we'll let you go.
But why do you want to keep them here?
You want to keep them here to help build that foundation up. You need to have somebody. You can't have a bunch of young puppies and think that you're going to get things done. They don't know what football is about. They don't know how to be a pro.
No question.
Don't know how to be a pro. That's why you have veterans in there.
So you asked me about Sutton. Who do you want for a rookie quarterback? You want some sort of experienced receiver.
See, now this is the thing. Sutton has to be willing to be okay with that as well. Well, we don't know
part of it. That's part of it. But he would fit the mold of that type of player you're talking about to be one of those leaders. Because I think Cortland matured a lot last year.
Yeah.
And if he were here this year, I'd be fine with it if he were on board. But I would also get from Cortland's perspective where he wouldn't be.
The point is that
these are hard decisions. The Broncos have been somewhat hesitant to make tough decisions when we're talking about franchise altering decisions the last 10 years because the organization has been in flux. And at least they're doing it now. And so
I'm not
guaranteeing that it's going to work.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if you really want to build that championship roster that has long-term success, you got to do it right. And sometimes it just doesn't happen overnight.
Oh, it's not going to happen.
And it sucks when you have 8 years of dysfunction that precedes it. So then you're like, oh man, we got to wait again. I'm not telling you it's going to work, but it's the fastest way out of the dead cap right now is to do it this way. And that's the best chance for success. So here we go. Clean slate, rebuild 2024. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye alongside Phil Lindsay.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around.
This is the vibe now. Now you're back in my good graces, KJ. We've made up now.
And I'll turn right back around.
This is more my vibe on a snowy day. Right here. Little Tracy Chapman.
Right, all right.
Get back in your bad graces. Give me about 12 minutes. You gotta
make me change my mind. I like it.
I don't doubt it. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye. Phil in the house. Drew in the house. KJ in the house. Skeleton crew, though. It is Snowmageddon we're in the middle of. We were kind of making light. Well, when I say we, I mean me. I was making light of it yesterday just a little bit because you never know. But we got it pretty good. You know, a lot of wet snow, too, that spring snow. But luckily, kind of staying above freezing today so the roads are all right.
Yeah, you were giving Drew And I was giving Drew a hard time. Drew was in there giving us all the details. Yeah,
did your wife get absolutely buried alive in snow or what?
She did, yeah. She said it's over 2 feet at our house right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Somebody on the text line said in Silverthorn, 2 inches at most in the last 24 hours. Cameras show only wet roads at the tunnel, yet I-70 is closed. Well, I saw parts of I-70 on the news today that looked awful.
Yeah, I did too, man. I did too. So I guess it's a hit or miss. Hit or miss.
It's crazy because DIA, I think, got like nothing.
Oh, it's nothing.
It's like, I mean, they've got no accumulation of DIA.
None.
At all.
None.
Wow.
Have you almost ever gotten stuck or gotten stuck on the way on I-70?
Oh, yeah.
Have you? I mean, I've had a real close call. Real close call. Like back, I think just after high school, we were headed up there, a bunch of us, to spend like the weekend at a condo in Breck or something like that. And I drove up with, it was two of us, and I looked at who I was driving with, and I'm like, hey, we're not making it. It's not happening. So I either cut through the median now and I'm on to the other side and we're back. You know, don't mean to promote that move, but desperate times call for desperate
measures. You got to do what you got to
do. It's that or I'm sitting there for 9 hours. And it was safe. I was safe, but, you know, right through the median, got back home, not stuck in the... But if you're up there, you're definitely not listening to us. It's just static. So I feel bad for you.
You're wishing you were.
But then again, you got to know the forecast. If you roll those dice, you got to live with your the consequences of your actions.
Or they could just be like you and just doubt the forecast and, you know.
You're saying that I was the reason that all those people got trapped on
I-70? I'm not saying you were the reason. I'm just
saying.
You're
saying it was my fault that all those people are stuck up there on I-70 right now?
I'm saying a lot of the people maybe had the same mindset as you did.
No, he's saying Matt
I think that's
everybody.
What he said. I think that's what he's saying. And if that's the case, I apologize. We in the studio right now, we've got some conference tournament action going on as this is conference tournament week leading up to Selection Sunday.
Yes, sir.
My favorite time of the year. I love March Madness. At the end of the day, it is pure hysteria for like 2 weeks. This week and next weekend, you could make the argument the best sports weekends of the year. I mean, unless you just don't like basketball whatsoever, how do you not love the NCAA tournament?
It's going to be upset galore at some point.
Well,
you're going to be sitting there happy.
I think this year you're right. I mean, there's a lot of parity in college basketball right now. So you've got an opportunity to win your bracket challenges. And when you're filling out your bracket challenge, make sure you head over to denversports.com because we've got a chance for you to win $5,000 for the winning bracket in our bracket challenge. denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K bracket challenge. Again, final day to enter next Thursday, March 21st. I'm looking forward to it tonight, by the way. No Nuggets tonight.
No.
No Avalanche tonight. They were both in action last night, and we'll get back to them certainly. And I also want to hit some reaction here on the RamosLaw.com text line. But tonight, we've got two games. Yesterday, CSU, the 7-10 matchup in the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Those boys, the Rams, was a little shaky there down the stretch.
It was. I didn't know what to expect. I was like, uh-oh. Are the Rammies going to get out of it?
They were 15-point favorites. What, they end up winning by 10 yesterday, Drew?
Yeah, 8-10, something like that. They pulled away late. I mean, that thing was, you know, back and forth kind of there until about the 4-minute mark left in the game.
Yeah, it was about a 5-point lead, I think, CSU had around the 5-minute mark. And look, the conference tournament, you never know what you're going to get because this is the last stop at the OK Corral for those lower-seeded teams. So maybe you don't see those lower-seeded teams, you know, make a real run for the championship, at least the tournament championship, but a couple of rounds, maybe an upset here or there, that certainly can happen. Like I said, I mean, it's winner-go-home time for the teams that have no shot at the postseason. So the Rams, they got the 10-point win or 8-point win, whatever it was, over San Jose State yesterday. Today, Drew, big one, though. They're in Vegas, and they're playing Nevada. Nevada or Nevada? Is it Nevada or Nevada, Phil?
I always say Nevada.
It's Nevada. That is the correct
Nevada.
That is the correct pronunciation.
Bada boom, bada bang.
Are you a Nevada guy, KJ?
I'm a Nevada guy.
Drew?
I, too, am a Nevada guy.
Okay, well, you'd all be correct. That's the correct way to say it. Nevada's like, you know, I bet I come from Nevada. It's not that way, though.
It's like bougie way of saying it.
And a little bit. Nevada's a 3-point favorite tonight. At least they were last I saw. Actually, I think it was down to 2.5 last night. I don't know what it is right now. But they play, I think it's a 7 o'clock tip-off tonight for CSU in the Mountain West Conference Tournament.
Can CSU get the upset?
We'll see. What is Nevada? What seed is Nevada?
Nevada's the 2 seed in the Mountain West Tournament. 26-6, 13-5 in the Mountain West this year. I remember when CSU went to Reno and played the Wolfpack. That was kind of a beatdown. Isaiah Stevens, obviously CSU's best player, did not have a good game in that outing.
Right.
So, tough challenge, but I mean, listen, neutral court, Rammies, you know, I think they solidified their spot in the tournament yesterday. Right now, I know Joe Lenardi's got him as a 9 seed in the tournament. So you get a win here, maybe you can boost your resume a little bit more. But I don't think either way. I think they're in the tournament no matter what.
I think these last couple of losses, man. I think Nico Medved finally has CSU's attention. Like, guys, you can't mess around anymore. They've had some weird, wonky, unnecessary losses down the stretch, and we call it an upset. But CSU were in the cream of the crop in the Mountain West to start off the season.
They were.
Get back there. Let's do what you know what to do.
Yeah, I like I said, Vegas, I think, would agree with both of you guys. Like I said, only a 2.5 point spread tonight. So they expect a close game in the Pac-12 tournament. Here we go. Buffs in action tonight. And they're playing a Utah team that just hung 90 on Bobby Hurley's Sun Devils last night. That was a smackdown. And look, it hasn't been a good year for ASU, but they had nothing for the Utes. So it'll be the Utes and the Buffs, that old Colorado-Utah rivalry that never really caught on. You know, it's just, you know, it just never really caught on. Well, they've tried to force feed it to us.
Man, we just couldn't stick. You know, especially in the football world, you could never beat them at home, man, for some reason.
Did you ever see them as a rival?
I mean, people would tell me about it.
That's right. They would tell you they're your rival.
Yeah. And to be fair, in a sense, we always played the Utes, you know, pretty close, but we never got the wins. So, and I think when you have a rivalry, you have to be able to win some more so it goes back and forth.
Yeah, both teams got
to
win.
They have to
make it a rivalry. Exactly. Anyway, tonight, the Buffs, though, they get Cody Williams back, projected top five pick.
Now, is he coming supposedly off the bench? Is he starting?
I'd bring him off the bench right now, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see how Tad likes it.
Talk to his agent, see if he wants him to get off the bench.
Might have to do that, Phil. Might have to do that. But it's a big game. The Buffs, actually, tonight, what are they, a 3-point favorite, 3.5-point favorite I saw last
Buffs
night?
Buffs are a 4.5-point favorite right now.
Ooh. Wow, it moved up.
It's moved up a little bit, yeah.
So a guy who took him at 3 last night would be very smart, is what you're saying.
That's kind of what I'm saying. But the question is,
those guys would be smart.
Yeah. Did they lock up their tournament spot yesterday They got to win. I'm crossing my teams up in my head here.
You're good.
CSU did it. CU, win tonight, they're in the tournament. Lost, they're probably out, right?
Well, Joe Lenardi right now has them as a last four in. Yeah. I would say comfortably you want to have one of these to make sure you're in and aren't in the conversation and maybe getting snubbed. But I would say they're probably in either way, unless it's like some drubbing, because all of that matters. Per the net rankings, which is where the tournament is calculated based upon, not necessarily the top 25 ranking, that matters more. And the selection committee takes into account multiple things. Like I heard yesterday that they recognized, I saw some reporter, you know, talk to somebody who represents the committee. They recognized that Indiana State had some big injuries, and Indiana State is kind of like that Cinderella story brewing up. They've got that goofy-looking kid who kind of, you know, has that Nikola Jokic-type game.
So they're going to let him in regardless because of the injuries.
I don't know, but they said that they acknowledge that there are injuries, and they know they were missing key players for key moments. So we'd hope they take into account that the Buffs have had 7 games this year missing 2 starters, and I think it's 17 games missing at least one starter.
Yeah, the Buffs are going to be in regardless. I think they showed that when they went on that streak at the end here. But to solidify it, they do have to get a win tonight, which they should. I think that they do beat Utah now. I don't think they're going to beat up Utah. It's going to be a close game. But I do think that they're going to inch past Utah and win tonight.
Look, this was a record-setting regular season for Tad Boyle, the most regular season wins in program for his program's history.
Also stressful.
Right. No question. CU finished 3rd in the Pac-12, and against Utah this year, they lost in Utah. They never play well in Salt Lake, but they lost 73-68. But they beat them a couple of weeks ago at home, 89-65.
Yeah.
I got the Buffs tonight. I think both of these teams, I'm hoping CSU advances. I'm pulling for them. They're, like I said, 3-point dog. I mean, they expect that game to be close. So hopefully, we could be talking about tomorrow CSU and CU advancing.
Ooh.
All right, on the other side, we'll get back to the NFL and update you on the latest. Who's moving around? Who's going where? That's next. Matt Smith in for Zach By. Phil in the house. On the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. It took me 10 hours to get back from Winter Park once.
Ooh-wee.
That's bad. Somebody else says it was bad in Morrison. A lot of stuck semis, I'm sure. I'm sure. And then someone else says, I used to work for CDOT, Colorado Department of Transportation. Yep. I-70's closed because of all the truckers that tried to get up to Floyd Hill with no chains. Mm. You ever see those, like, off-ramps when you're making your way?
Yeah.
There's got to be nothing more terrifying than actually needing one. You know, as a kid, I remember driving up to the mountains and just, you know, you kind of, like, see things looking out the window. That's terrifying, the thought of having to use that. So shout out to everybody
who's
going slow
man.
And slow out there on the roads today. You're definitely winning the race. Let's take a look at some of these other contributions here on the RamosLaw.com text line. We don't have a good quarterback and aren't going to have one either. That's accurate. Thank you, Captain Obvious, for pointing out the facts. I think that's very, very, very real.
We don't have a good quarterback,
and we're not going to get one either. Okay. Negativity.
What are we building for,
negativity.
Man?
I feel like the other 31 teams are out to make sure the Broncos never get another quarterback. This is ridiculous. Well, who did you want? Who did you want that has gone off the market? I'm curious.
Well, you had all the opportunities just like those other teams to do it. You just decided not to because we don't have the money to do it, nor do they have the want to pick up somebody that they don't truly love or Sean doesn't truly love.
How about this one? This is Tegan. I think that's how he pronounces his name. I kind of just want to make sure I get that right. Listening to you from Sydney, Australia. Denver native. Love you guys to listen live every day as I have for 8 years. I don't miss the show. It's 75 degrees here at 8 a.m. Well, it's not here. It's not here. You are enjoying being out of town. I got a buddy that just went out of town this weekend. He's been doing nothing but sending me pictures of just places with no snow. And thank you.
I really don't need
that. How about this one, Phil? You answer this guy's question. Could they be keeping Cortland Sutton to do a big trade on draft day and move up, package him with Patrick Surtain in the first rounder for the first overall pick?
You know, I don't see Patrick Surtain being moved out of here. But they could still be moving from Cortland Sutton at draft day. That's a big possibility. Matt, you've said it before. Anything and everything is on the table, from trading up to moving down to picking somebody in the first round to keeping some players. It comes down to, what does Cortland want as well? Does Cortland want to be here? Does he want to be traded? And if that's the case, that they're going to probably do what he wants to be done as well.
Hey, guys, Michael from the 682, formerly 303. My folks in Lakewood have a foot of snow, and my relatives in Lyons have 2 feet of snow. Are the Broncos going to bring in Bo Nix to go against Sparky? Mike Kliss said, thank you for the text, by the way, Michael. Mike Kliss said a little bit earlier with Stokely and Dover that it appears the Broncos at 12 are going to be in play for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Whether that means they move up, we're not sure yet. We spoke a little bit earlier yesterday. We looked at what a potential price tag to move up might be. Probably looking at this year's first. If we're talking about moving from 12 to 6, at least based on past history, maybe this year's first, a third this year, and then next year's first, too. That's a big jump for quarterback four.
Yeah, if they're going to get Bo Nix, they're not going to have to move up to get him. They could probably move down like you want to go get someone like Bo Nix. Who do you like better, Matt? Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr.? Who do you like more?
That's a good question, man. I think that Bo Nix probably fits more of the archetype of what Sean wants to do, but Penix is the wild card because every time he's been healthy in school, he's looked really good. He's been an extremely productive college football player.
Yeah.
I just worry about his durability long term. And again, I told you, if you're going to stay at 12 and take a quarterback there, that means that you're passing up on two potential starters you could be getting if you move back a little bit and pick up other draft picks. So, again, and to build off that, we talked about the quarterbacks yesterday. If you are going to trade down in the first round and still draft a quarterback in the first round, the history has not been kind. Remember, I read that list to you yesterday, the guys?
There was like, what, 4 or 5, I want to say, quarterbacks.
Actually, you know what? I think it'd be good a little bit later today. Let's get back into that list because there were some interesting decisions made, and it kind of goes to show you that if you are going to trade down and stay in the first round, it's really not wise to take maybe, you know, quarterback 5 or quarterback 6 off the board within the first round when you could probably get a starter. This makes sense to me as a draft where you approach it, and most teams approach it every year this way, past a certain pick.
Yeah.
Best player available.
Which I'm okay with, because I think that if that's the case, Bo Nix is still going to be there in the second round, and Michael Penix Jr. will be there in the second round, so you don't have to pick him up in the first round, even if you go down, if you move down. So you can get, like you said, a starter, whoever you want, who's best available, and still get a quarterback that you may like right? For the right price, which would still be a second, because if you're moving down, you're hopefully going to get that second pick, correct? Like a second round pick, you would hope for if you're moving down.
I guess it just depends upon where you're moving down to and who's moving up, right? Yeah. Like if it's a team at 15 moving up to 12, is it that much value you're getting? Because we also saw a recent example of moving from 12 to 10 that cost you a third and a fourth that year. So it's not like that's a huge leap. It just, if you're trying to get up into the top six, top seven of the NFL draft, you better be ready to potentially part with next year's first. The question becomes, are the Broncos there? Nobody has that answer yet other than Sean and George. All right, on the other side, I want to take a look at who's still on the board for the Broncos. A quarterback, another one just went off the board. We'll shed light on all those details next. Eventually get back to the Nuggets and the Avs. Massive wins last night. Thanks for locking in on a very, very snowy Thursday here in the Mile High City.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.